Now we conclude our series of presentations from the VidPi seminar, that's Visually Impaired Data Processors International. It was part of the National Convention of the American Council of the Blind in Des Moines, Iowa.
Have it.
Okay, I'm Jim Fruchterman of Benetech, and I'm here to talk about Bookshare.org. A lot of you may know Benetech under its old name of Arkenstone. We're the nonprofit successor to Arkenstone. Last year, as a lot of you know, the Arkenstone reading machine products were sold to Freedom Scientific, but the engineering team and I stayed with the nonprofit and we're busy building new projects. Bookshare.org is the first of what we hope to be a sequence of new products for people with vision impairments. So that's where we come from, and I think that I'll tell you a little story about how we came to start Bookshare. A few years back, my son was using the computer, and after he got off the computer, I noticed this little icon on the computer, and it was a very funny little icon, and I said, "What's that?" And he said, "Oh, that's Napster, Dad." And I said, "Napster? What's that?" He says, "Oh, it's just for music." And so I quickly dug in and found that our home computer was serving up illegal music to the internet right then and there. And I said, well, Jimmy, how did you get this? And he said, "Oh, you know the kid on the corner? His mom's the CEO of Napster." And it was true. The head of Napster lived on my block in California. So after digging into this a little bit and taking Napster off, because as a software maker, we have to be kind of, you know, careful about these things, I started chatting with the Napster people and figuring out how can we use the Napster concept to help disabled people. And of course, we wanted to do it in a legal way, but it was actually possible. So the whole concept is that Napster took off because it built a community of people who were able to share materials, and the collection of material that they created reached critical mass. That's exactly what we want to do with Bookshare, but with a few differences. The first one is, there's this exception in the copyright law that makes services like the Library of Congress's NLS and Recording for the Blind Dyslexic legal. It says that you don't have to get permission from the copyright holder to make accessible versions of books available to people who are disabled. So we're actually taking advantage of that law in a way that the framers of that law never thought we'd use it, by hybridizing essentially the large community of people who are scanning in books with Arkenstone or Kurzweil or other systems. What we're trying to do is permit those people to reach that critical mass by sharing all the books they're scanning. So the whole idea is that if somebody somewhere has invested the 3 hours to scan in that book, and even better, if someone else has proofread it, wouldn't it be great if you could access that book by just logging into the internet and accessing it? So that's really where Bookshare.org comes from. So I think that, let me kind of walk you through how it works. I think that'll help. So the first thing you do is you go to www.bookshare, one word, .org. And today, if you go there, you find out a lot of information about Bookshare. It's not up yet. I'll tell you about the schedule in a minute. But you can sign up for a newsletter to update you. But you go to Bookshare.org, and our goal is to make it like Amazon. Type in, you know, Karamazov, if you want the Brothers Karamazov. And what will happen is that you'll get a list of all the versions of that book that are available. And our goal is not only we get a list of all the books that you can download from Bookshare.org, but you also get a list of all the accessible versions of those books available from other providers of accessible media. So my goal is that if I type that in, I find out NLS has it on audio tape, 4-track audio tape. And National Braille Press is selling it for $25 in Braille. And Bookshare.org has a download, and whether or not it's been proofread. So let's make the assumption that that you want it right then and there. So you make a choice. Do you want it in Braille, which would be the BRF digital format, or do you want it in the DAISY NISO format, which would be sort of a text-based format that's kind of like HTML? Now, if the material you want has been copyrighted, so in other words, it's not in the public domain, not you know, 80 years old or whatever, you have to have an account with us. And to get an account with us, you have to prove to us that you have a qualifying disability, and we'll use the same system that RFB&D uses to qualify people, and we'll accept proof of services from RFB&D or NLS as sufficient proof to get access to our service. And you have to pay a subscription fee. And we haven't set what the subscription fee is going to be, but our current guess is it's going to be something in the ballpark of $50 per year. So you enter in your name, your password, you're allowed to download the material, and a minute later, that book is on your hard drive. It's encrypted to you as an individual. So you want to access it on your hard drive, you do so, and you type in your password, and then you get access to that book, and now you can do a lot of different things with it. You can put it in your Braille note taker. You can print it out in Braille. You can access it in OpenBook or Kurzweil or JFW or WindowEyes or whatever your particular access solution is. Our deal with you is that you get to do all those things without us putting a lot of strings on you, as long as it's for you and not to be recirculated. So the deal is you're not going to put this on a free internet site. And by putting some of those protections in place and having our members agree to that, we've got the industry association, the Publishers Industry Association, to actually support us in doing this rather than fighting us. So just like the record industry is busy fighting Napster, we went to the book equivalent, the AAP, and convinced them that they wanted to work with us. What we did is we said we would take some precautions to protect their material. The publishers were perfectly okay with blind people getting access to these books as long as this didn't become a source of Bookster, free books over the internet to everybody. And of course, we did change the name from Bookster shortly before we got to talk to the publishers. So basically that's how it works. And the collection, let me tell you some things about the collection. Since it's scanned books, there's going to be a combination of things that are proofread and books that are not proofread. Our goal is that, at a minimum, the quality will be what you would get by scanning it yourself. And over time, we're trying to get the books to where they are proofread and then have structure. We're dealing with Daisy NISO books that are text only. And this is a key difference. Most of the Daisy NISO books are focused on audio. Basically, I'm being the next generation of the talking book, and so they have recordings of human voices delivering the book content. Our initial conception is that we're delivering you text, HTML-like text, got some structure in it, and you use a voice synthesizer to access it. So when you're actually using it on your system, you're going to have a talking application like Connect Out Loud or JAWS or WindowEyes to be accessing it. The thing that's going to make Bookshare really take off is when the average user comes, visits our site, and more than half the time finds the book they're looking for. So we are absolutely dedicated to reaching that critical mass where people will go to our site, find what they're looking for, and come back. And the other key thing is that we're not deciding what the collection should be. The users decide what's in the collection because the users are creating the books. So everyone who's out there scanning should be saving their books so that they can share it through Bookshare with the entire rest of the community. And because a lot of people are proofreading the books, we have not really even been publicizing Bookshare.org, and we already have 10,000 books, the majority of which are already proofread. Now, I don't think that's necessarily going to be the case long term, but we're definitely getting a lot of books from people who have taken the time to proofread their books. We're really going to be focusing on schools because the schools have the obligation to deliver the books in high-quality proofread format. And so we really want to get the schools signed up because they'll be a source of really high-quality text. But our near-term objective is really to get as many books as possible up there that are at least as good as you would scan yourself, and then ratchet up from there in terms of quality and quantity. So I think now would probably be a good... Oh, let me just give you the schedule, and then I'll answer some questions. The website internally is about 85% done. Our internal focus has shifted to getting the collection large and high quality and cataloging all that. We're expecting to be able to accept uploaded books next month at our site at bookshare.org, and to take the site live with at least 10,000 books, and we're hoping quite a bit more, at the end of the year. So that's basically the timetable, and I'd be glad to answer some questions if anyone has them. Yes? The question is, any books in the publishers? The answer, yes. It depends on the publisher. Some publishers are very paranoid, and other publishers are very easygoing. So I'll give you an example. Bain Books, which is a science fiction publisher, has an online book service already. And they've agreed that we can take all the books on their online service and make them available through Bookshare. So they're great. And there are authors and other publishers that are like that. I'd say that a few of the publishers have started saying, could we be meeting our legal obligations to provide accessible books for, say, textbooks through Bookshare? And our answer has been more or less, sure. And so I think that we're not expecting to get a lot of content from publishers, maybe less than 5% at the beginning, but we're hoping that... I mean, my long-term vision is that Bookshare won't be needed because every publisher is going to make their stuff accessible and affordable. I think it's going to take at least 10 years, so we're filling that gap.
The $50
subscription Yeah.
No, the
subscription fee goes solely to keep the service running. Our goal is that we're creating the service using the money that we receive from Free and Scientific, to be honest. That's where the funding is coming from. And our goal is to get the service within 2 or 3 years to be break-even so that the subscription fees pay the costs of keeping the service going. We're not necessarily expecting to recover the money that we invested in creating it, though.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
Main menu.
It's time for us to log off for another week. On behalf of all of the Main Menu team, I'm Jonathan Mosen, wishing you a pleasant week.